1 Corinthians 16, 9, we're going to talk about something else, or excuse me, 16, starting verse number 5. We're going to talk about something that has to do with really God's will and our will. And it has to do with the great series because it talks about a great door. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 5. Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. Now I will come unto you, verse 5, when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. I want to talk this morning about a great door. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time again. Thank you for each one that's here, Lord. Please provide what's needed for these people. Lord, you know what each heart is yearning for. You know where each person is at. You know what's needed. You know what wisdom needs to be imparted. You know what direction each one needs to go. Lord, you know if there's anything we need to forsake or that which we need to cling to. You know if someone needs comfort this morning or encouragement in their weariness. Lord, you know if someone needs faith to trust you in some area. So God, I pray that you would speak to each heart as only you can. God, empty me of myself. Lord, please don't let me say anything that would be fleshly, that would be out of your will, that would be a hindrance to your clear message to each one here today. Lord, so I ask that you would fill me, speak through me. Lord, let each heart be softened, as only you can soften. Let his heart be open to hear your voice. Lord, I pray that there would be hearts hungry and seeking your word today. Lord, please, I know you can deliver. Just help me not to get in the way. And Lord, be the preacher today. I need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Apostle Paul here writes a letter to the church at Corinth, which most of you know, to deal with some sin. If you read the book, you see there's some sin in the church that Paul had to deal with and address, and he addressed it very aggressively. He had to deal with some misunderstandings that were going on and some issues that the church had. And in this last chapter of this letter, or book of the Bible, Paul indicates his hope of seeing them soon, especially to receive money that was given to help poor believers. All the while, it seems he is seeking open doors to preach the gospel and minister to people. That's kind of what Paul did as he traveled. He ministered to people. He sought open doors to preach the gospel. He went the best he could under the leadership of the Holy Spirit in his life and sought to find those open doors. In verse number 9, we read Paul mentions a great door that is opened unto him in Ephesus. There are numerous places in the Bible where an open door is mentioned. If you did a study on doors, opens and closing doors, you kind of see some things. We see in 2 Corinthians 2:12, I'm just going to mention them, we're not going to turn there, elaborate on them. But just as reference, 2 Timothy 2:12, we see Paul is in Troas, there was an open door there for him. We find in Colossians 4:3 that Paul instructs those in Colossae to pray for a door of utterance. In other words, for him to speak the gospel. He's asking for an open door. In Revelation 3:8, we see Jesus setting an open door before a church. He said, I've given you an open door. I've set before you an open door. And I believe we have a God who opens and closes doors. Do you? Amen. Now, I think it's good to pray for that. Sometimes I find myself praying, God, would you, if this is your will, open a door. Because I think that's biblical. Lord, give me a door to speak your word. Give me a door to share the gospel. Open up a door for this ministry. Open up a door for this to happen if it's your will. And I think that's biblical. That's right. That's okay to pray. The idea of a door is generally used in reference to God's will and leading in a particular instance. God often leads. Certainly he leads through his word, predominantly by his spirit within us. And he'll also use circumstances to direct us, or an open door or a closed door, to be clear to us about something he wants us to do or not to do. So the idea of a door is generally used in reference, as we read it in places in the New Testament, to God's will and leading in a particular instance. I want us to consider this morning the situation in which the Apostle Paul talks about this great door before him to help us understand really how our plans and God's plans come together, how they should come together. And so in considering of the context of what we're reading, we want to first look at this, a man's aspirations. A man's aspiration. In verse number 5, it says, "Now I will come to you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be well that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go." You see, Paul had a desire, it was his aspiration, if you will, to be with the Corinthian church and to spend the winter with them. In other words, he had a short-term goal for a certain time to be with them and to do this. And I will say at the start, it's good for a person to have proper goals and plans for their life. Would you agree with that this morning? It's good to have some plans. It's okay to plan. It's okay to have some goals. I think God's created us with certain aspirations in our life to do certain things. But let me add the end of this phrase. It's good for a person to have proper goals and plans for their life based on their purpose. Based on their purpose. The Apostle Paul, for instance, his purpose was to preach the gospel so people are saved. And do that full time. His purpose was to preach the gospel so people are saved, to start churches as a missionary church planner, and encourage and instruct those believers in the faith of Christ. Now, as Christians, we all have the responsibility of reaching the lost, but not all of us have the same purpose or calling, like Paul had, of course, to go around and start churches and preach the gospel full time and encourage and edify believers along the way. He had a specific calling and purpose. So his goal or desire in this instance was to be with the Corinthians for a season and to help minister to them, to help square some things away that they need help with, and to edify them and certainly to reach souls as well. So his goal and desire to be there, his aspiration to be there for a season is good. It's a good thing. And I find it's in line with his purpose that God's given him. And so, his aspiration was a good one. I plan to be there with you and to spend some time with you to help you. That's a good thing. Can I ask you this to ponder for a moment? What is your purpose in life? What is your purpose in life? Do you know? Based on what God's gifted you, or how God's gifted you. We learned all about that Sunday night. The gifts God has given you, and the way he's created you, and the opportunity he's provided for you, looking at those things, and with prayer and thought, what is your purpose? What is your purpose? Let me linger here for a moment to say, of course, God's will for everyone is that they get saved by trusting Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. In 1 Timothy 2:3-6, so this is where it starts for everyone. 1 Timothy 2:3-6, "For it is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved." Just some men? No, God's will is that all men are saved. "And to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." If you're going to find God's purpose for you, no matter where you are in life, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, No matter what you think you have or you don't have, you have a purpose from God. You have a purpose in life. And it starts at the cross with Jesus Christ, accepting Him. It's His will that everyone's saved. Once you have a relationship with God through Christ, God's further will can be followed and your purpose can be revealed. Everyone has a purpose. And listen to this. When our goals match God's purpose for us, then we can press forward with confidence. Man's aspirations, we all have goals and desires. And if I asked you and sat down and had a conversation with you and say, what are your goals? What is your purpose? Or what would you like to see in 10 years? Where would you like to be tomorrow? What are you striving for in your life? That's okay to list some things. That's okay to say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But let's keep in mind, if you're going to go forward with confidence and be successful in God's eyes and do what He's created you to do, then you have to get your plans in line with His plans. Otherwise, you're just going off on your own desire or goals. And it's not lining up with God's purpose for you. Psalm 37, 4 and 5 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. See, it starts with delighting yourself in the Lord. Get yourself full of God. And when you get yourself full of God, then you can figure out what the desires of your heart ought to be. Do you get that? Let me say it again. Get yourself full with God, and then you can make a proper decision and have a proper direction for your life as far as what God's purposes are for you. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He said, my desire is this. My desire in my heart is this. Yes, but does it line up with God? Many people today, and I've said it before, say, just follow your heart. If you follow your heart, you'll be distracted. You'll wander. You won't get to where God wants you to be. Why? Because our heart is only as good as what we set it on. If we set our heart on wickedness, should you follow your heart? If we set our heart on someone that's leading us in the wrong direction, should we set our heart on them? If we set our heart on a false religion, should we follow our heart? If we set our heart on our own selfishness, should we follow our heart? No. If our heart's set on God, we can trust it because God is directing it. Let's not get caught up in the cute phrases of today that say, just follow your heart. The heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who shall know it? Because it depends on where our heart is and who has our heart. Then we can trust it if God does. But I'd rather say this, instead of follow your heart, follow your Savior. Instead of follow your heart, follow God. Instead of follow your heart, follow His plans for your life. Listen, young people, you hear that in your TV shows and in the teen phrases of today, to follow your heart. That's not true. Don't believe it. Don't follow your heart. Follow God. Your heart will catch up eventually. Set your heart on God. What does the Bible say? Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Follow God. Set your affections on Him. A man's aspirations can be good if they match God's purposes. If they follow His desires, because then His desires become our desires and we see them become real in our lives. Commit their way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. A man's aspirations are certainly important as they match God's purpose for you. So we have a man's aspirations. You have goals, praise the Lord. I guess nothing's worse than someone who doesn't have any goals or desires for life and is just existing. We ought to certainly be striving for something. We ought to certainly have some good godly goals and desires for our future, and we ought to plan, and we ought to provide, and we ought to, the Bible talks about that in Proverbs, that it's wise to plan ahead, and we ought to strive for that. That's needed. That's how many things are accomplished in life and in this world. People with goals and determination and pressing forward with things on their heart, but make sure that it matches God's purpose in general, in His will and His word, and that it matches His purpose for you. In other words, how He's created you, the gifts He's given you. We see a man's aspirations. What are your aspirations today? But we notice something that's very key to this. is the master's authorization. Is the master's authorization. Look at verse number 7. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you. I underline these last four words, and it could be good for all of us too. If the Lord permit. If the Lord permit. There's the master's authorization. If the Lord permit. We notice that Paul's aspirations were only accomplished as the master gave his authorization. Those four words at the end of the verse are crucial for a Christian. Know them, memorize them, underline them, highlight them, put them where you'll see them. If the Lord permit. If the Lord permit. We cannot do anything, nor should we attempt to do anything if the Lord does not permit. How do you know if the Lord permits? Number one, it would be against his word. The Lord would not lead you to do something against the Bible. That would be contradicting to his will and his purpose. And so if the Bible says, don't do it, we can't say, God told me to do it. If the Bible says that we ought to do it this way, and we say, no, I'm going to do it this way, but it's not the Lord's will, he is not permitting you. Will he allow it? Sometimes, yes, and we'll deal with the consequences of it. But sometimes that's how we have to learn. But if the Lord permit, I think is crucial because it's his authorization. We cannot do anything or should not attempt anything if the Lord doesn't permit through his word, through his spirit, because the Lord will convict you and let you know within that this, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be going here. I shouldn't be heading in this direction. When that happens, listen quick and get it right. If you let it linger, you're going to find yourself going against the Lord's permission. He also tells us, certainly by closed doors and open doors. You see, he just keeps closing the door. There's a reason. Don't keep trying to open it. If the Lord permit. We may say that we have good desires, good plans, good goals, and that may be true. You may have a good desire, a good aspiration for something in life. But remember, we're only human. God can see it from the beginning to the end. And we better make sure that we have his authorization. In James 3, 14 and 15, it says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will. Those are another good four words that mean essentially the same thing. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. That's why you may hear people saying, yeah, I plan on doing this, Lord willing. Now, hopefully we're not saying that just so other people think we're spiritual. But we say it because we mean it. And it reminds me that if I'm going to do this, it's only going to be if the Lord wills. It's only going to be this if God's will is that that happens. So we see this great door. We see the man's aspirations. But we see also the master's authorization. You see, we must first seek the master's authorization before proceeding with our plan. Then trust him to permit or prevent our plans from happening. He has that right in your life. When we press forward and we just seem like the Lord's leading, we need to give him room to say no or yes. We're going to deal with that a little more with this afternoon's message. But we need to allow him to either prevent or permit the direction we're heading. If we're praying, we ought to pray, Lord, if this is your will, allow me to do this. If not, close the door. Can we say that about our ventures of life? Can we say when we pray, Lord, if this is your will, I want it. Open the door. Lord, if it's not your will, close the door, please. Prevent it from happening. Put something in its way. Make it clear to me. Don't give me peace about it. Or are we, Lord, this is what I'm doing. I feel this is best. I hope you join on with me. There's a difference in the spirit of that person. Will you prevent or will you allow God to prevent or permit? Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Isn't that true? We have our own way. We devise our steps. I'm going to go here and do this and do that and do that. Which again, it's fine to have those aspirations, but do you have the master's authorization? If the Lord permit, is that on your lips? Is that in your prayer? Is that in your life? Is that in your heart? If the Lord permit? If it's the Lord's will? Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we have that trust, that confidence, that if we follow his will and we're following his leading and we're making sure we have his authorization, that these things will work together for good. We may not know how or why he did something or allowed this or how this is going to happen, but if we're following him, we know it will work together. The master's authorization is necessary to remember and to appreciate when it comes to our plans and goals according to his purpose. So we have a man's aspiration, then we have the master's authorization. Thirdly, we have a mixed anticipation. Verse number 8, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. By the way, Paul was a very determined person. There's nothing wrong with determination if it's in line with God, if we have his leading and permission. A mixed anticipation. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual means it's going to be a place where God can really work in it. It's a powerful opportunity. Is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. So we notice that the Apostle Paul shares a little of his plans of what he will be doing en route to Corinth, Lord willing. He plans on tarrying at Ephesus until Pentecost to see what he can accomplish for the gospel's sake. But he relays his anticipation about a couple things. It's a mixed anticipation, as we'll see. There's the anticipation of a great opening. The anticipation of a great opening. Oh, what a blessing when God opens a door, isn't it? I love to see when God opened the door. Perhaps I'm not even looking for it, and there's an open door before me. That's a wonderful thing. Or I'm praying or seeking God about something, and he opens the door, so to speak. He makes a way where I say, this has got to be God. Anyone ever been there before? Where you say, I've been praying about this, and it just seemed God opened that door. Number one, give glory to him, and thank him for it, and praise him. But also understand that when that happens, he wants you to do something. He has a plan for you. We must submit to him. When you sense God's leading and you follow that path and he opens the door for you for his purpose, that's a great thing. That's a wonderful time to see God's sovereignty and his glory and how he intercedes in our lives. There's a great opening. The greatest door to go through is the one opened by God. That's it. Just because there's an open door doesn't mean it's God, right? Because every opportunity doesn't mean obligation. Every opportunity doesn't mean you ought to walk through the door. But when you know, according to his word and his leading and his direction, that he opens a door, then that's the greatest door you could walk through. You know why? Because you're in his will. And when you're in his will, that's the safest place you can be. But let me say this. Sometimes we miss the open door because we're trying to knock down a closed door. Can I say it again? Sometimes you miss and I miss the open door because we're trying to knock down a closed door that wasn't meant for us to open to begin with. Let's be careful not to miss what God's doing for something that God's not doing. Right? That if we're not careful, we can be so blindsided, so narrow-minded on our own will and our own desire that we're walking through doors that God has barred and locked. And we're trying to knock them down and kick them down and finagle our way through some door when there's an open door God's already provided for you over here. There was anticipation of a great opening. But there was also an anticipation of great opposition. He said, there's a great door and effectual is open unto me. Praise the Lord. I can work here. And God's going to do a work in my ministry and with these people in Ephesus, and I can't wait to do this, and I'm excited about that, and he's anticipating it, but he realizes also that there are many adversaries. There's going to be great opposition. Paul understood that there would be many adversaries in Ephesus, and if you read the Bible, you see there surely was many adversaries. He faced great opposition when in Ephesus. They didn't like him too much. But that doesn't mean there wasn't a great opportunity just because there's opposition. Did you hear me? It doesn't mean it's not a great opportunity if there's great opposition. If it wasn't for God's protection, Paul probably would have been killed. An open door from God doesn't mean a path without struggle or opposition. That's so key to understand this. We get saved, perhaps, and someone gets saved, and they think, man, this is God's will. Man, I'm following God. I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to church. I'm praying. I'm trying to line up my life with the Word of God, and so there shouldn't be any problems. Everything should be easy. It's generally not the case. Just because it's an open door and it's God's will doesn't mean it's going to be perfect and without opposition and without struggle and without hardship. Often, there tends to be more opposition because we have an enemy, the devil, who doesn't want us to move forward with Christ, doesn't want us to move forward with our purpose that God has given us in His Word and in our lives personally. Don't confuse an open door with an easy way. Sometimes it is. Sometimes God opens a door and it's just, man, I can just go forward. I'm not hitting any walls. And sometimes that does happen. But I'm just saying that that doesn't always happen. Just because it's an open door doesn't mean it's an easy way. Sometimes there's struggle and opposition because that's part of God's process in our lives. That's part of Him increasing our faith. That's part of the process of molding us into what we ought to be, is those struggles and opposition. And if we didn't have them, we would never have done what God had told us to do, or never have been as strong for when God wants us to do His will. And so just because it's an open door doesn't mean it's an easy way. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." In 1 John 4:4 it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." When you read about the Christian life, especially from the lips of Jesus, it's an easy life. Everything will be perfect. You'll have no problems. That's never from the lips of Jesus. Usually it's, "I have nowhere to lay my head. Still want to follow me? If you're going to follow me, take up your cross." It's normally you have to deny this in your life. You're going to realize that. You're going to have to sacrifice this. There's going to be some struggle. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. And we kind of sometimes have a backward idea of Christianity, especially in America, and some of these TV preachers and others who put forward a prosperity gospel that everything will be perfect. You'll have money in your pocket. By the way, be careful what you watch on TV or who you listen to on the radio. Just because they're famous doesn't mean they're biblical. Amen? And so that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is blessed. The Christian life is full of joy. The Christian life is full of peace. The Christian life is the best life you could ever live, following Jesus Christ. But at the same time, there is struggle. There is opposition. There is persecution. But the difference is you have Jesus. The difference is His grace is sufficient for all our needs. The difference is you'll have His leading and guiding and direction and help at every turn. The difference is He'll fight for you. The difference is He'll lead you as a shepherd and feed you and provide for you. But it's still the greatest life. So what I'm saying is, just because it's an open door doesn't mean it'll be an easy way. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Yes, an open door does not exclude difficulty. But if it's of God, you are provided strength and victory. So in summary of this great door in 1 Corinthians 16, we've examined a man's aspiration. And we've said this: it's good to have goals and plans within God's will and purpose. Let me say that again. It's good to have those goals and plans that we're striving for in life with the gifts He's given us and the opportunities He's given us within, if it's within God's will and purpose. Secondly, we said the Master's authorization. We go and do and dream and seek after with the understanding, if the Lord permits. If the Lord permits. And that's unique to the Christian. Many will say, "Keep plowing forward, don't worry what comes in your way. Just keep doing and doing and doing." But the Christian adds this: if the Lord permits. It's not a way out. It's a way to trust someone who knows better. If the Lord permits. The Master's authorization. Then there's mixed anticipation. It's exciting when God opens a door. It's exciting when you have God's leading in your life. It's exciting when He's moving and directing and you can see His hand upon you. And you can see Him guiding you. And you can see Him providing and working out circumstances. It's good when you see that. But remember, it's not always without challenges. That's where faith and dependence upon the Lord comes in. That's where we need to trust him. And in some cases, he does that so we can trust him more. Because if he didn't allow those things, we'd be trusting in ourselves too much. Do you have plans or goals this morning? Are they within God's will and purpose for you? God's will is that you first obey the gospel and enter into a relationship with him. That's the first stop. After that, God gives you spiritual gifts to use for his glory, to minister unto others and be a blessing to this world. Of course, he's given us specific things he wants Christians to do in his word. Are you within God's purpose and will for you? Also, have you relinquished control to the one who permits or prevents? Have you relinquished control to the one who permits or prevents? And then lastly, will you go forward in faith through the doors God opens for you? It's not always that it's a great door, and man, I'm so excited about it. Sometimes I know it's an open door, but I'm afraid to go through it. I know it's an open door, and I know it's God's leading, but I'm scared of what I'm going to face when I get in that door, because you don't always see what's past the door. You say, I'm sure God's will is this open door, but if I step through it, what will happen? How will I work it out? Well, that's part of the process, is you don't work it out. You trust God to work it out, and you follow his steps day by day, minute by minute.